Welcome to the Elks Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. And this is a Sunday strategy session. I'm particularly motivated on this Sunday because I've just made a big trade. And I've been sort of shooting for it forever. And this was very intentional. This was very... I played the long game on this. Failed a lot and ultimately succeeded. So I do want to take you through this. This is kind of a long story. I'm not going to go through the whole deal, but I'll sort of update you on sort of where this comes from, sort of where you can read about it. And then, I'll basically take you through kind of the, what I would consider like the 400 or 500 level stuff of it. So, I made a trade today. I'm recording this on Saturday, and I shared this with some people in the group chat. I made a trade today for Lamar Jackson. Basically, the way the trade happened, it's pretty simple. I was out with my daughter, 5-year-old, and she fell asleep on the way home. I pulled over and said, I am going to make some trade offers in this league. I've been trying to make trade offers in this league forever. I haven't been able to land an elite quarterback. I've kept trying. 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 To no avail. And intentionally, too. Not just haphazardly. Actually intentionally aiming, like, with a long game in mind, which I'm going to detail here. And ultimately, I was able to do it. So, I'll take you a little bit through the background of this, why it's meaningful to me, and what I think we can learn from this. So this is the rebuilding guide chapter. This is the rebuilding team from AOD, the team building guide from this year. This is that league. I went from being, I think I went to the semifinals in the first year of it, kind of fell all the way out of it I fell out of it. It was a 2019 startup. I was like, I think I made the semifinals. I might have lost might have came in like fourth place, something like that. Everything fell apart in 2020. And then I made a series of trades, basically, which I kind of detail in the deal, that net me a whole lot of stuff. I'll sort of detail how I sort of got the pieces for this deal in this trade. But the, suffice it to say, at the end of 20, leading up to the trade deadline of 2020, right? So we're talking like October of 2020. It became very apparent I wasn't going to contend. It also became apparent that I was, I needed a retooling. So I was able to package a whole bunch of stuff. It was Le'Veon Bell, Philip Rivers, Jared Cook. I might have given a second for what appeared to be a contender's first. And the contender certainly thought he was giving me a contender's first. And at the time, like, it wasn't a horrible deal for the person, right? It didn't look like if they made the playoffs, you know, I'm sure they thought that it was going to be, and they were in line to make the playoffs when I made the trade, you know, that they might be giving up 6 to 8 spots and maybe draft pedigree. That's probably it. And so it was a lot of, and it helped them at 3 positions, it appeared to. And after that, what that person probably didn't realize, which is the reason why I took the deal, was because at the time that they were sitting there, that they were sitting with the 101 pick. Because the rules are that it's based on potential points. Unless you finish in the top 3, then it converts to being 10 or 11 or 12, depending on where you finish. And so I knew as I was sitting there, I was like, I got a really good shot at this, right? And I did the math. I sort of laid this out in the book. And I ultimately, everything breaks right for me. I don't think he won another game. Maybe he did. Maybe he won one. Didn't make the playoffs. Landed 101. Right. So, again, haul of the century. And I get 101 for basically Rivers, who retires, Le'Veon Bell, who I don't think ever really played again, and then Jared Cook, who is basically out of the league, you know, within a couple of months of that happening. And so doing pretty good, you know, I'm in a pretty good spot at that point to retool. And again, that's the Lawrence class, that's the Pitts class, Najee Harris, right? It's a good class, really good class. And I kind of say to myself, you know, there's like a couple of ways that I could go about this. I could either sort of go in deep on a rebuild, or I can use these pieces that I have, right, this elite draft pedigree, and really retool. This is honestly a number of lessons learned in this rebuilding process, right? This is probably, of the things that have changed the way that I've been a dynasty GM, this is probably this offseason in that offseason in this league is probably the most consequential in terms of ideas from AOD and the like. I trade, this is where arbitrating came from. This is where really the embrace of premium positions came from. And I just totally kind of leaned into it, and a lot of things went well as a result. February of that year, I gave up, again, so I leave the end of 2020 with essentially Matthew Stafford as my only starting quarterback. I had Andy Dalton too, but he was going to not be a starting quarterback. It didn't appear after that. So I leave that with, so I leave the offseason. I turn around, like right around the Super Bowl, I trade Hopkins for Jameis Winston, Darrington Evans, and Keenan Allen. Again, Keenan Allen and Hopkins appeared to be pretty close on paper, but they were very different in terms of the price. I was able to extract a starting, what ended up being a starting quarterback and a very usable asset out of that deal. I then follow up with that. And my goal is just to keep, you know, all right, at that point, Winston's my second quarterback. We're going to keep bumping him down the line. Give Chubb for Rodgers. And that's, we'll call that like, again, February, March of 2021. I then take 103 and I trade it for Cousins, Jamal Williams, Mark Andrews, and 204, which ends up being, I think, a very successful trade. Andrews finishes as the tight end one in that year. And you know, Jamal Williams ends up leading the league in rushing touchdowns this year. Cousins, perfectly viable thereafter. And then I trade that 204 and the Winston, right, and Winston, because now I've fleshed out quarterback. Instead of Winston being my two, he's my four. I'm able to trade Winston and that 204 for Josh Jacobs and 307. I then flip, turn around, and take the 101 that I had inherit, you know, that I had gotten in that trade. I trade that in John Brown, who basically goes on to do nothing. For I get 103 back. I get a well, I get 103. I get a 2022 first round pick. I get 2022 second round pick, and then I get I also get in that deal Tyler Higbee, and yeah, so I trade 102, I get Tyler Higbee. Sorry, excuse me. I trade 101 and John Brown. I get Tyler Higbee, 103, a 2022 first, and a 2022 second. So really what I've netted out is, in that deal, is, you know, the 103 basically becomes neutral. And so what I get for that is like Andrews, Cousins, and like a lot of help pick-wise. I've now essentially cashed that pick in, but that pick becomes a pick in 2021, and I'm fully restocked. Got good quarterbacks. I'm older quarterbacks, right? Could be young, but pretty productive. 2021 is a good season for me. I make the playoffs, right? It's almost an instant turnaround. I score 174 points in a finals loss, right? So I get all the way back there. And the good part about it is I've got an extra first. Right? I've got my own first, which is 101. I get an extra first, which ends up being 106. During that season, at the end of that season, right, I had Rodgers, I had Stafford, and I had Cousins. So I made the decision to actually trade Cousins and Ramondre Stevenson, who I had gotten with the 307 pick in that Jacobs trade. Again, keep trickling down. And I trade for Deshaun Watson. So I land a Supermax quarterback in that deal. So I have one Supermax quarterback. I have Stafford. And I've got Rodgers. And so, again, I have two Supermax on paper. Right? I want to get an elite one. Right? My goal sort of throughout the entire offseason. I just came off a finals loss. I've got a really good team. I've got two first-round picks. I have really, I'm in pretty good shape. And I say, all right, well, what? Yeah, I've got the cupboards basically fully stocked with assets at this point. And I say, all right, my goal this offseason is to make a deal. All right, so this is in the 2022 offseason. So we're talking a year ago. And I've got 106, I got 111, and I've got three good quarterbacks. Right, my goal is to land Allen, Mahomes, right, Herbert, an elite one. It was kind of my goal. You know, if I could get a Lamar Jackson, something like that, right? That's my goal, right? One of those guys. And so I kind of spent all offseason doing it. I just continuously am trading. I'm willing to give the equivalent of four future firsts for Allen or Mahomes to no avail. For Herbert, nothing. Like Lamar Jackson, it doesn't get done. Yeah, I just kind of keep, I'm unable to effectuate that. So I just continued to, right, that's sort of the initial salvo. And that becomes the story of it, right? But as I'm sort of going along, I say, all right, like there's a couple of things that I can do to sort of increase my odds. Number one, I can continue to add good players. Number two, I can continue to add future flexibility. One of the things that I think that we get wrong, maybe not we, but Dynasty in general gets wrong, is a significant amount of time is spent early in the off season trying to fill needs. I think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake for a couple of reasons. Number one, you don't necessarily know what you're going to need in the future. Okay, so you don't, as we sit here right now, and as it's, you know, we'll call it Valentine's Day. We don't know on Valentine's Day what is going to happen on Labor Day. Nor do we know what's going to happen on Veterans Day. For our non-American listeners, we're talking early September and we're talking mid-November. We don't know what's going to happen on Thanksgiving. We don't know what's going to happen on Christmas. We don't know those things. The consequence of not knowing those things is we don't know the players that are going to that we actually acquire for a need are actually going to be there to help us. And we don't know that the need that we actually appear to have is a need, nor do we know that the strength which we are depending on is actually going to be a strength. Okay, so there's so much uncertainty into the future that we spend a lot of time trying to address needs when in reality we don't know if we're actually, you know, doing so. We don't know if that's a durable solution to a problem that we actually have, right? Because it's so much time, so much uncertainty. And so one of the things that I have continuously sort of evolved into is as I would much rather, instead of trying to trade for a need, right? Unless it's an elite quarterback or an elite tight end, right? In a premium format. Unless it's that, I would rather stockpile some flexibility that I can then really address down the line. Okay, because if I'm sitting here now trying to address a need, A, I don't even know if I'm going to be contending. B, the player that I'm trying to acquire to fix a need, I don't know if he's going to be there to help me. C, I don't know if that need is actually a need. And D, I don't know if the strength I'm depending on is actually a strength. Right? So I don't know all of those things, and time, injuries, performance can impact them all. So one of the things that I think about is, all right, well, can we sort of push off some of our assets into the future, give us the flexibility, and then as things go along, if we're contending, that's great, right? That's good. Then we know we can evaluate and say, okay, we actually have this need, or we have this hole in our roster that maybe it's one we thought we had in February, maybe it's one we didn't, but we've got these liquid assets, we've got these picks that are very helpful, right? That we can use to fill them, right? And if we are contending, we then know that there will be teams that are not contending that may be interested in a trade for the future picks that wouldn't have been interested in February, right? Because their season goes poorly, maybe they're aging, maybe they want to trade productive players for future picks, right, to retool, right? And so we kind of know, hey, we're going to probably play this out, but if things don't go our way, we've got the future flexibility. But if things do go our way, we've got all the flexibility to really put them in a package to trade for something that can really help us, right? It is that flexibility will be best used when we, A, know we're in it, and B, know what the actual need is, and C, when there's someone on the other side who is really incentivized to sell. Okay, so that's sort of in my mind as I'm going along this. A, I know I'm contending team. B, I know I want to make a, I think I'm a contending team. And B, I want to make a trade for an elite quarterback. So I want assets to do that with, right? I want to be able to put picks or players in a deal to get that done. And if I can't get the elite quarterback, at least I've got the flexibility to address other needs if I have them, right? That's what I enter 2022, like, singularly focused on doing, is getting that. So I make three trades, essentially. I'm unable throughout the offseason to do it, but I make three trades to attempt that process. The first trade that I make is Najee Harris and 206 in 2022 for Austin Eckler and a 2023 first. The reason for that is twofold. Eckler was projected to be more productive than Najee Harris by ADP and redraft, right? So redraft ADP had Eckler more productive than Harris. There was a split in their cost, and I could net a future first by sort of taking an age discount at a position where, frankly, Najee Harris isn't like that young, and I'm trading basically some long-term, some future years for a more productive one now, plus some flexibility, right? I think that's a great way to net you assets, right? People talk about, hey, how do you get younger? Do that, right? Like, trade a guy who's good, maybe even very good, for a guy who's probably even better but older, and pick up picks, right? That's the way to kind of two-way go, people, right? Because then I can sort of backfill my roster while also still contending, right? Love those types of deals. So that's the first one. All right, now I got two future picks in the future. The next thing that I do is, again, all rookie draft season, I am trying to make a deal because I have two picks this year and I got two picks next year. And I say, I've got four firsts. Who wants them for a quarterback? Unable to net one. Just doesn't happen. Dak, Lamar Jackson, Herbert, Josh Allen, Mahomes. Can't get a deal done. Just can't. Doesn't. Not happening. So instead of panicking, I make a conscious decision, and I'm not even necessarily sure, like, this ended up being the best result. I'd be curious to see what would have happened if it flipped around the other way. But I end up getting Kenneth Walker in the deal. So I have 106 and 111, and I trade. And my thought process on that is, there's a tier break after three for me, right? After Hall, after London, and after Walker, who I had a clear three, right? I had a clear top three. After those guys, it's much less clear to me because A, there's a lot of wide receivers. B, there's a quarterback that's not a top 10 quarterback. Right, there's some running backs, but they're kind of later in the round. I don't want to get in that business that early, and I didn't have a clear answer to what wide receiver three or four was. Right, I didn't have a great answer on that. So instead of staying there and picking, right, and just kind of taking someone, I made a conscious decision to trade up. Again, I didn't do this a ton. I never trade up for wide receiver, but I made a conscious decision in this one to try and jump a tier. And the tier was a very simple decision. I want to get from 106 and I'm going to go to 103 because I'm going to take the last of the guys that are available. And I think that's the best chance that I have to get an asset that's going to go in a trade for an elite quarterback. So that's the deal that I do. Okay, I go 106 and 111 for 103, which is Walker, and 205, which ends up being Brian Robinson. Again, if I sat there at 106 and sort of redid it, is that Olave? Maybe it's Pickett, right? At 111, is that maybe, Sky Moore or Christian Watson? I'm not sure how it all would have played out. It's be interesting to go back and look and sort of reevaluate that process. It would have been fun if I had in that book, like said, hey, kind of here's, as I wrote it down, kind of here's what I would have done if these guys were there. Again, I wouldn't have the benefit of actually knowing that because, maybe things would have changed if I didn't make the deal. Probably not, but maybe they would have. For what it's worth, Kenny Pickett went 110. So after 103, it was Treylon Burks went 104. 105 was Garrett Wilson. I probably would have taken Kenny Pickett at 106 and just tried to take one of the last of the guys that fell to me at 111. That's probably what I would have done. Sky Moore goes 106. Jameson Williams goes 107, Chris Olave 108, Christian Watson 109, Kenny Pickett goes 110, Jahan Dotson goes 111. So if I had to guess, probably what ends up happening is I get something along the lines of Kenny Pickett and, Sky Moore, Christian Watson, or Jahan Dotson. That's probably the outcome that I would have been staring at. In a different world, right? Does that Olave and Christian Watson, maybe, right? I don't think that's what would have happened, right? In hindsight, that's not what I had. And in the moment, that's not what I would have done. In hindsight, it would have been great if that had happened. It wouldn't have happened that way, probably. Even if I took Olave at 106, I doubt that Watson would have been there at 111, right? That's right. I think it was the right trade at the right time. And I think that it has stood the test of time as being the right trade. So now I have two future firsts. I've got Kenneth Walker and I've got three quarterbacks. I'm not going to put Watson in this deal, but I can put Rodgers. I can put Stafford. And I've got the ability to make trades. I've got depth at tight end. I've got the ability to sort of make, I had Andrews and Goddard. I'll get to the Goddard thing in a second. But I had Andrews, right? I had Evan Ingram. I had a guy like DJ Moore, who I could have put in a deal. I have the makings of four future firsts of that valuation for an elite quarterback. That's what I have. And now I'm singularly focused on winning a title. And I'm willing to give the picks. Right. I am like a guy standing on the corner, just holding out the picks. If you were a scalper at a game, right? I've got picks. I'm willing to give them away, right? I'm willing to trade them. No one's taking. And so I keep going into the off season and I say, all right, well, what else can I do? Right. Well, I think my pick's going to be late. I think my team's very durable. I am not going to fall out of this thing, probably, unless catastrophic things happen, right? I have plenty of depth across the roster. I didn't sort of need to go into it, in full bore, but I've got 5 or 6 running backs I really trust, right? I've got 3 or 4 wide receivers I really trust. I got 3 tight ends I really trust. I got 3 quarterbacks I really trust. Like, I've got a lot of players in a tight end premium league. I have a lot of guys that I trust that are high floor guys that it would take a lot to make my pick early, a lot to go wrong. But it's not to say it's impossible, but it would have taken a lot for that to happen. So I'm out there and I'm like, all right, let's see if I can make a deal where I can flip my first for someone else's first in a bigger deal, where I get a shot at maybe a top 5 pick, right? Because I already have one from somebody else. You know, if I can move my, you know, that pick becomes, you know, instead of it being a playoff first, it's a top 4 pick. I've changed my reality on what I can do in a deal. So I'm hunting around. And ultimately I decide, hey, let's try and trade DJ Moore for Dallas Goedert. And I throw the pick swap in there. I'll give my first, get back their first. And right, that's basically trade number 3 in the process of trying to get the assets to make this deal. Number 1 was the Harris and Eckler trade that I netted the first in. The number 2 is the trade for Walker. And number 3 is this trade. Okay. And I'm moving my first and I'm moving DJ Moore. And I'm moving them for the other person's first and Dallas Goedert at a premium position, right? So I've gone non-premium position to premium position, and I've tried to net a pick upgrade. Again, if my team's a playoff first and it's a downgrade in picks, like, that's fine. Like, that's fine. But what I'm hoping for is that I can strike gold, right? That I hit with Goedert and that I can, and that on top of a team that's already very deep. Right, I have Higby, I've got Evan Ingram, so I figured I had a decent fleshed out tight end 2 type situation. Goedert was actually going to push those guys down to tight end 3, and I've got a deep reservoir of talent. Again, trading all over the place, right? Picks, players, Walker, gets on the radar early. Doesn't happen, right? Just cannot do it, to the level of frustration, to the level of like, I can't give it away. Like, I could have given basically the equivalent of 5 future firsts at that point, right? Walker plus picks and a tight end. And I would have given a quarterback, right? You know, if it was, I was primarily trying to trade Rodgers, right? But I could have given the equivalent of essentially 5 future firsts for a quarterback and would have done so and could not get it done. So ultimately, I go through the whole season, right? I've got Rodgers, and I have Stafford, and I have Watson. And that's the team that I kind of roll with. Throughout basically the entire season, that's my quarterback room. I pick up Andy Dalton. I think I might have still had Andy Dalton. He ends up being on my team. He ends up being having some useful weeks there. With Stafford got banged up. I think I actually played Dalton in a playoff game as well. I'm playing Rodgers, who frankly wasn't even that good, but my team's very resilient, right? Eckler, Fournette helped me. Jacobs helped me. Walker certainly helped. You know, Jamal Williams was in, you know, and again, I can start basically, if I'm starting in my super flex, right, starting 2 quarterbacks, I can start to 4 running backs, but I also have, I didn't even mention, I have Pat Freiermuth. So I had Andrews, Freiermuth, Goedert, Ingram, and Higbee. Right, so I've got depth there. Right, I am a very deep rostered team at tight end, at running back. Wide receiver is a little bit light. I end up trading for Tyler Lockett. Keenan Allen was banged up for some time, but I basically rode Mike Evans and then kind of funneled through the other guys. you know, some Mac Hollins in there. I ended up landing Isaiah Hodgins. Like, you know, so I've got some guys that basically flow through that. But the strength of my running back position and the strength of my tight end position really carries me a long, long way. Get to the playoffs, get a bye, and win two games, and I win a championship. So I've gone from basically 2 years ago having 103 to getting one, you know, getting to a finals and losing, and having a finals and winning. And so again, I set my eyes on an elite quarterback, right? And this year, like, there's no way that this deal doesn't get done. Like, there is no way that I don't get a quarterback deal done. Prescott's depressed. Lamar Jackson's depressed. Kyler Murray's depressed, but I don't know if it helps me a ton. I've got Watson. I've got Stafford, I think, is going to bounce back. Rodgers, I've got, you know, and those are basically my core three. But I got two future firsts. They end up being, at the time of this deal, throughout the offseason, they are picks 108 and it's pick 108 and 107. So I have 107 and 108. Again, that move and that Goddard deal was 12 to 8. So again, it wasn't a huge deal, but it helps. The Eckler Harris one, again, it didn't end up being a huge deal. It nets me 107. Again, I probably broke wrong, right? Both teams aren't stupid. They're smart GMs, and right, I don't think that they're horrible, right? I don't think like that they're intelligent. So I wasn't hoodwinking them, but you know, if you had told me like the best I would have done was 107, I would have been an upset, right? I wouldn't have been upset, but it would have been a surprise to me, right? A betting upset. But it's really the mind, right? That does make a difference. And so those kind of add up, and I got two of them. And that brings me to today. And so I'm, again, driving around, back from running some errands. Daughter falls asleep. I pull over. I'm going to make trades in this league. And I start shopping around. And honestly, the first thing I started to do is I kind of was like, all right, I can go the Allen route. Like, I can go, you know, I can kind of go the Mahomes route, even though the person, you know, just based on some prior interactions, I kind of knew he wasn't going to trade me Mahomes. Like, I kind of knew that. But I end up making, you know, a bunch of different offers here. I make offers for, I make Aaron Rodgers and some guys for Dak Prescott. I Aaron Rodgers, Jacobs, and both firsts for Josh Allen. Aaron Rodgers and both firsts for Justin Herbert. All those are rejected. Rodgers, Goddard, and two firsts for Burrow. So all of those guys, I'm kind of like, that's the deal that I'm making, right? I'm wanting to go higher on the guys. And honestly, if you countered and wanted an additional person back, I'm probably going to do it. Right? It's a rich person situation. You don't want to just give assets away, but like, it makes a lot of sense to consolidate up, especially this time of the calendar. Those trades typically work. And so I am shooting for them. Ultimately, I make an offer of Aaron Rodgers and two firsts for Lamar Jackson, and it is accepted. I think that this teaches me a couple of things, right? Number one, it's a lot easier to trade for a quarterback when you're giving a quarterback. I am surprised that someone pulled this deal with Aaron Rodgers, you know, in a dark room wherever he is. I figured Aaron Rodgers would trade higher than Stafford, right? If they wanted to do something Stafford centric, I would have done that. My ideal goal was to move Rodgers. But if someone wanted to sort of go to the Stafford angle, I could have addressed that as well, even though it'd probably be more expensive. But this is ultimately a deal that gets done because of I played the long game, right? It's a consequence of essentially a number of different trades that cascade through this, right? There's the joke about when Houston traded for James Harden, the way they made that trade was actually the consequence of like 13 prior trades or some crazy thing like that, 17 prior trades, whatever it was, a whole bunch of different transactions that they had made. Not all trades, I think other transactions as well, but it was like the trickle down of it that landed them all the assets, right? I got Rodgers in a deal for Chubb. I ended up getting the pick that was in the that's that one of these picks in the trade for Eckler, which I actually got in a trade for Najee Harris, right, who I ended up getting back in a deal, right, that I ended up trading that 103 and getting 103 back and then taking Najee Harris with it, and so that's that deal, right? So again, it's the product of a bunch of different things that just continue to sort of do it. But I set my mind out to do this. I set my mind with the intention of eventually making a deal for an elite quarterback. Now, the question is as I sit here now, what's my end goal, right? Do I want to sit here with Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson going into the future? I would much rather sit here with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. I am not necessarily done at all. Right? I don't. This is a team that it's my biggest buy-in. It's my biggest prize. It has a dynasty pot now that is up to 40% of winning first place. So it's a big deal, right? That's my pot if I could win it. Right? That is a big numerical edge. It's too great. It's $2,100 to me if I win this league this year. So again, like, there's a lot there in terms of continuing to make my team as absolute highest ceiling as I can, because right, it can win me a big prize. Right, it can win me a big prize. So as I look forward, right, I kind of come back to this and say, okay, well, what's my next move? Right, what is my next move? Well, I don't have the benefit of a future first this year. Right? I don't have a benefit of a first this year, but I do have the benefit of a pretty good team, and I think that I could probably get back some additional assets if I needed to. I definitely think that I could get back, if I wanted to sort of pick up some first, right, I could make a trade involving probably a guy like Josh Jacobs. I could probably make some trades involving like Eckler, and, Kenneth Walker could, net me some flexibility and the like. There's other ways to do this. I mean, I could trade Freiermuth, a guy that could potentially be traded, Ingram as well, like Goddard, right? Andrews probably not, right? But I have guys that at premium positions, I have depth in the ability to do it. Deshaun Watson and Kenneth Walker and a tight end, does that get me Mahomes? Does it get me Allen? It's possible, right? But that's kind of the next way that I'd go about it. Continuously try and move up the board. I'm not in a rush, right? But I feel much, much, much better now in a much more confident ceiling and floor situation than I did, rolling with Stafford and Rodgers. This also has the benefit of moving Stafford down to my quarterback three, which I like. I'm not typically a person that goes in and say, all right, I need three top 12 quarterbacks, whatever, right? I don't have that goal in mind. I just think that's too cost prohibitive. But as you build out your team, right, having a depressed guy that you think, hey, he's probably a top 15, top 12 guy, depending on how I exactly want to rank these guys. I don't need to be too specific, but I've got a guy who's clearly depressed in price, right? He's trading in the 20s or whatever. But I feel good about him, but I feel excellent about him as my quarterback three. The other thing too is like, there's uncertainty above him, right? There's no guarantee that Watson's an answer. I think he is. There's no guarantee that he is. Right? There's no guarantee that Lamar is, right? I feel much more confident that Lamar is the answer than Watson is. You know, especially this year, right? We can't be certain that Watson's the guy. We thought that he was a depressed asset when we got him. I still think that. I'm still pretty confident that he's going to be the guy, but it's no sure thing. So I've got Matthew Stafford as being a guy that is a hedge to either one of those guys not being great. So as I sit here right now, like, that's kind of the stepping stone. You know, I hearken back to when I think about trading. One of the things that really sort of changed how I thought about trading was it was after the Knicks had sort of the surprise run a couple of years ago. It was the big Julius Randle year, and that, you know, I think they went to the playoffs. I think it was actually Trae Young that beat him, or Atlanta that beat him. It was that big Trae Young series. And after, in the aftermath of that, like, they were trying to go out and acquire a star. And they were trying to go out and acquire, you know, can we get a star guy? Is it free agency? You know, is it in a trade? Whatever. Like, can we sort of take the next step forward? And ultimately, they were unable to do so. But I'll never forget one of the things that they, in the commentary after the fact, like, they got kind of ripped for not making a better deal. And it looked like they may have overpaid for some of their guys in free agency. Kind of had some winner's curse type deals. Right? It's had some role players end up paying a lot of money for. Maybe more so than they would have, than people would have thought going into the end of the season, or going into free agency, that, yeah, the contract ended up looking bigger for those guys than, you know, people might have thought. And I remember the commentary afterwards was kind of ripping them, but I heard a really good line. I think it was from Zach Lowe or Brian Windhorst, one of those two guys. And they said, you know, listen, this isn't a deal about today. Right, this is those contracts, you know, those players as assets, as contracts in a future deal, right? Like, that's what those players are. Right? They are the pieces in a bigger deal. So what they did today isn't the ultimate goal for what this team is, but that is the ends to, right, the means to the ends of which this team actually is in the long term. And I found that really interesting because we tend to, and I don't love sort of preaching this because it's not, it can be taken really wrong and it can be bastardized in a way that is, I think, harmful, right? Where it's like, hey, you know, just stockpile assets. Well, like, yes, but like, that doesn't just mean draft value, right? Or, you know, hashtag value. It means sort of optimizing it in ways kind of like I did, right? Like, that's more of the way that I think of these deals. And I wasn't panic selling, right? But I was willing to pay, you know, 150 cents on the dollar to do these deals. And it was just a matter of time when one came available to me. At some point, a quarterback is going to become available, right? They just are. Because someone's going to have a bad season, someone's going to have a bad narrative, and someone's going to get scared. Right, and someone's always wants picks to rebuild with, and so that's kind of the way I saw this. Right, it's kind of the way I saw this deal. Now, you know, can I go up? Can I go higher? Like, yeah, that's the goal, right? Like, continue to sort of build up, right? Definitely, but I'll never sort of forget that line of thinking, which is like, yeah, like, these probably aren't the pieces you're going to win ultimately with, but they're pieces in a deal in the future that will get you something that you can ultimately win with. And I think that that's a really valuable way to see building our teams. Always try to be improving them, always try to be upgrading them, but also, like, if you can't do your ultimate goal, like, keep yourself flexible, keep yourself with, in a spot, in a asset situation where you can make the deal when it becomes available, because you don't necessarily know when that's going to be, but you can definitely do it, right? In the future, if you are properly prepared for it. So that's kind of the big takeaway from this, right? Again, it's playing the long game, right? We're always hunting for elite assets and being ready to go when they become available. This is one of those. Again, I think I got a discount for Lamar Jackson. I'm surprised someone didn't make me pay more. I'm pretty excited about where I find myself and excited about what I could potentially do with this team going forward. So the core guys here, you know, they're the elite guys. It's Lamar Jackson. It's Deshaun Watson. It's Stafford. It's my quarterbacks. And then I look down, it's Eckler. We'll see what we get with Fournette. But I got Jacobs, Kenneth Walker. I got a host of injury away guys. And then I got Allen, Evans, Lockett. Again, I probably need to get younger at wide receiver some way, shape, or form in that range. But then I got Andrews, Ingram, Freiermuth, Goddard, and Higbee. So got all those guys, and those are really the big pieces that I have of this. Again, does one or two of those guys get consolidated with Watson for another elite shot at a quarterback? It's probably the thing that I'm going to attempt to do when I get off recording this right now. So hopefully I'll have an update here coming forward on another deal that I made in this league, but you get the idea, right? Even if it doesn't come near right now, keep staying flexible, keep hunting for assets in a way that can improve your odds to get them in the future, right? To get to make a big splash deal in the future, right? Keep hunting for them kind of the way that I did, right? Using some of those tactics, kind of thinking, you know, two or three moves ahead and, you know, thinking, how do I get, you know, some marginal gains here that could potentially be big difference makers later on in a deal, and continue to use that. So I made that big deal for Kenneth Walker and didn't ultimately end up using him in this deal. So he ends up being, you know, backfill, and we'll see what I can get out of him here going forward. Probably more as an asset than a usable player at this point. But again, he's no slouch as a usable player either. So plenty of depth there to draw from and potentially trade off into the future here. So excited about all that. And hopefully I'll be detailing more of this league. Again, I think it's a good, I don't love just talking about my teams, but I think that this one's, of all the teams that I have, I think this one's probably the one that I've learned the most with. And it's, I think it's been the source of some good content and the source of some pretty profitable lessons. So, all right, well, that'll do it here for this Sunday strategy session. I hope you enjoyed this. I certainly enjoyed sort of the research of this and the whole process of this and the anguish of not being able to get that deal done, but the ultimate payoff of getting it done as a defending champion. Pretty nice feeling, and I like the direction that I'm going. So that'll do it here for this edition, and until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.